live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth. We're listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Friday on the second day of August 2019. I'm thrilled to have back on the program a very fascinating woman. Her name is Audrey Werner. She is the Dean of Life Issues and Professor at Masters International University of Divinity. She's the President and Founder of the Matthew 18 Group, a purity paradigm for our homes, churches, and nation. She is a former sex educator and STD, that is sexually transmitted disease, clinic nurse. She is a purity speaker for Life Talk Crisis Pregnancy Center, national speaker for RSVP America, sex education expert for the American Academy of Biblical Counselors, and author of the book that we discussed with her last time she was on the air, 10 Tips on How Not to Talk to Your Children About Sex. Today we are going to be addressing the quest for biblical sexuality in Uganda and how one mom is influencing a nation on sex education. It's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Audrey Werner.
Thank you, Chris. It's always an honor and a pleasure to be on your program, so thank you for having me back.
Well, it's my pleasure, and I'm sure it is the pleasure of our listeners. Please, before we go into our main theme today, let our listeners know, especially those that missed you the last time you were on, or the last times, plural, that you were on. Tell our listeners about not only the Masters International University of Divinity, but also about the Matthew 18 Group.
Sure. Let me share where this all began, which was about 25 years ago. As you mentioned in the intro, I was a former sex educator. I was trained in the standardized training that everyone in the country has to go through to teach children about sex. And we were told that parents aren't doing their job, so we need to go into the schools and do it for them, and that we would actually decrease the pregnancy and the STD rate. And they told us that we might hear a lie out there that if we went in and talked to kids about sex, that they would go out and do it, and that's just simply not true. So I was diligent. My husband and I were newly married. We had no children at the time. And so I was diligent as I thought I can help parents. So I went in and to the schools and talked about sex education and taught the children about sex. Now, we were never encouraged to talk to the children about abstinence. We were just to talk to them about condoms and birth control. So after 5 years, we were blessed with our very first child, and I still wanted to work for the health department where I had been working as a sex educator. But I did want to work part-time and be home with my baby a little bit more. But the only part-time job available was working in the STD, or sexually transmitted disease, HIV clinic. And I thought, okay, that's a little out of my comfort zone, but I will go ahead and do that. And it's as if over that 8-year period of time that the Lord said, I want you to see the fruit of your labor. And I saw things getting progressively worse. So I was challenged myself to go, wait a minute. I was told that sex education would improve the situation, but it seemed like children were becoming sexually active at earlier and earlier ages. And sex abuse was exploding, date rape was exploding, and I wanted to know who was behind this, who was behind sex education. And at the time, my husband was a family life youth director for the a Lutheran church in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and somebody challenged me to look at the Lutheran sex education program, which came out in the 1960s. It was the first Christian sex education program. And I, what I did in my research was uncover the fact that not only was the Lutheran sex ed, but all sex education was developed with the help of Mary Calderon, who was the director, past medical director of Planned Parenthood. We had Hugh Hefner, who was giving the initial seed money for sex education, and a man by the name of Alfred Kinsey, who was considered the father of the sexual revolution. So I thought to myself, oh, wow, this is huge. Not only do I need to wake up, because this Lutheran sex ed was being taught at the school where now my firstborn was entering kindergarten, and I had gone to the same school and gone through this sex ed in the 1970s. So I realized I needed to wake up that school. I needed to wake up those parents. But I also realized I needed to wake up the Lutheran leaders. And then as I kind of thought about it, I have to wake up the entire body of Christ across the world to the fact of where sex education came from and what it's doing to our children. And, of course, I had an argument with God because I thought, how can one person just do that? But God, every time I have questioned how can I do this, the Lord has put someone in my path of sometimes a very a national leader in my path who has been able to help me or help educate me in the areas where I needed further information. So I have continued to be wowed by the Lord, and I realize that we have to wake up parents. I realize that we have to start talking to youth about purity, not about sex, not about abstinence, but we need to really reaffirm their identity in Jesus Christ and talk about how do you live a pure life in today's culture. I also realized that we needed to wake up the shepherds, because if you can get to a shepherd, he, of course, can affect the whole flock. So the Lord opened a door for me to teach at Masters International University of Divinity, where I teach a course called Restoring Biblical Purity in the Church, and I have had the opportunity over the last 6 years to teach that to pastors all over the world, as well as crisis pregnancy center staff, and also biblical counselor students. So I have, as I said, I have continued to be wowed and amazed through this whole process, and then the Lord led me to Uganda. So that's kind of a nutshell what's going on.
Well, I'm looking forward to discussing Uganda with you, and anyone who wants to look up more information about the Matthew 18 group, you can go to Audrey's website, which is Matthew 18, and Matthew is spelled, or should I say Matthew 18, the 18 part, is spelled with the Roman numerals XVIII. And I think you may have an alternative website that actually has the normal 1-8.
Yes, we have both domains. Yes, okay. Matthew18.org, and you can go either way, Roman numeral or regular numbers.
Yeah, I know that there are a lot of people who are Roman numerically challenged, so the, they might prefer to go to Matthew18.org.
Right. Right, yes.
And I'm going to give our listeners our email address right now in case they have any questions about sex education, about what's going on in Uganda, more about Audrey's ministry, etc. And our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And please, as always, give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. And by the way, that website I gave you, Matthew18.org, you could also purchase copies of Audrey's book there, 10 Tips on How Not to Talk to Your Children About Sex. Before I go into the Uganda situation, your visit to Uganda, and this one mom who is influencing a nation on sex education, the thing that's remarkable about the number of churches that have been deceived by the modern sex education movement, very heavily influenced by Kinsey, who was a vile and disgusting and satanic pervert. Can you give us an update on the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, which it's remarkable that anyone in that denomination, especially in leadership, would be deceived by such things, knowing of the conservative nature of that denomination, the love for and dedication to the inerrancy of the scriptures, being very careful in the ties that they have ecumenically outside of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. You don't have rampant modern ecumenism going on with that denomination where they are linking arms with liberals or even Roman Catholics and those outside of what we would call reformational theology or historic evangelical theology. So tell us, have you got any updates, hopefully for the positive, in regard to the Lutheran Church?
To be honest with you, Chris, I spent several years reaching out to them. The Lord opened the door, as I had shared with you, in the late 1990s. The president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod at the time, Dr. A.L. Berry, had written me back and appreciated the information, and he had said, this is alarming to me as well. So he opened up a dialogue between me and the Lutheran Publishing Company, which is Concordia Publishing House. So what in essence happened was there was a debate going back and forth with President Berry being the moderator for that. And I have all of the correspondence going back and forth. But there was a clear resistance on their part to admit that Kinsey science had been used to develop the Lutheran sex ed program, even though the original bibliography from the 1960s books directly quote Kinsey, as well as Hugh Hefner is one of the books that's recommended to the teenagers to read, a book written by Hugh Hefner.
Wow.
Yes, and several of the members of the organization that was kind of the official organization to start sex education, which was called SECIS, which is an abbreviation for Sex Information Education Council of the United States. It was launched at the Kinsey Institute, and as I said, Dr. Mary Calderon of Planned Parenthood was the first director. Everyone who had ties to SECIS when it started had connections to and firm beliefs in humanism, communism, and eugenics. So as we look historically, any society, if we're going to tear down a society, you really push sexual morality, and sex education is the pillar to the sexual revolution. In order to keep this movement going, now we're to transgender, and we're now going to teach pedophilia to children as just another sexual orientation in California. That is called sexual attitude restructuring, which is at the foundation to sex education. You have to indoctrinate children early into these beliefs and to these sexual deviations, and of course, away from God's Word in doing that. So I have continued to try and correspond with CPH, but Dr. Berry died suddenly, so I lost that communication. Then Linda Bartlett, who was the president of Lutherans for Life, took up the gauntlet, and she actually arranged a personal meeting. So I actually met someone from CPH in person at the Lutherans for Life headquarters. And by that point, as I said, the Lord had already given me national leaders to help to put together a lot of information for them with a lot of facts on it being, you know, their sex ed being harmful to children and being developed by Kinsey Science. And there was, again, I think there's kind of, if we ignore her, she'll go away. So I thought, okay, Lord, if I can't wake up Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, then I guess I have to wake up the world. And so the Lord has opened some doors. Actually, this last winter. In January, I actually presented at our Texas Capitol in Austin. I did a legislative briefing, briefing all of our legislators on where sex education came from, who developed it, and what was the intent. And then I came back in April, and we actually, there were a couple of moms, just moms, I call them JAMS, which is just a mom, because that's how I started this whole thing myself, and four moms came together, and we testified on a bill that two of the moms had put together to actually get sex education out of the schools. And so, again, the Lord's opened some other doors, but I would love to say that the Lutheran Church has reached out to me. I have reached out to every president since Dr. Berry with absolutely no response. So,
now, do you think this is more an area of not wanting to admit that we've already done something wrong? Because the Missouri Synod Lutheran, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod doesn't seem to be caving in many ways to the modern sexual ideas, the heresies, the blasphemies, etc., that are being championed in the liberal mainline denominations and being championed just in the world, in the political arena and the social arena and so on. They don't even allow women into the ordination as ministers there, and of course they don't permit homosexual ministers as well. Those who are, you know, having abomination, who are committing the abomination of same-sex relations and so on, they still teach that that is a damnable action. So, what do you think the motive is there?
Your guess is as good as mine. I don't fully understand that because you're right. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod has stood firm on many of the moral issues and not caved like a lot of the other denominations. I don't know. I can't, you know, I have shared with you before that the Learning About Sex series has been around since the late 1960s. If it has indeed been harmful to children, imagine the recall on that. I don't know legality maybe of them knowing that this has been harmful to children but continuing to ignore. My suggestion, because when I did meet in person with the CPH representative, ironically on October 31st of 2001, I met with them and gave them all the information with suggestions, because you don't just present a problem, you have to come with some solutions. And I said that we don't have very many curriculas that are on purity, chastity, purity, modesty, self-control. We need to get back to teaching parents how to do that. And so I said the Lutheran Church could lead in this. We could actually be in the forefront of doing this. You know, of course, you would need to recall this series, and you need to say why it's being recalled. Because it's not just the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. All other Christian sex ed programs that have been developed since that one have patterned off of that one. So, I like to say you find Kinsey in every denomination. His science is in all of our Christian resources that have to do with sex education and marital intimacy. A lot of times I go to church libraries and I can find Kinsey in the bibliography of the books that are there. So it's a matter of we've got to humble ourselves, we've got to turn from our wicked ways, we have to purge Kinsey out of the church. And until we do that, things aren't going to get better in this country. And, I would love to say that they've reached out to me. As a matter of fact, Concordia Publishing House, some of them had a nickname for me. I'm called the Toxic Woman. So
T-O-X-I-C? T-O-X-I-C?
Yes, yes.
Wow.
Yes. I'm a toxic woman because I brought forth an error in the church, and I'm a woman who brought forth an error in the church. Look how well that goes over.
Well, so, I have a number of very, very conservative Lutheran Church Missouri Synod pastor friends who I've interviewed on this program, and I'd like to, at some time after this show is over, try to get them riled up enough to help you accomplish yeah. something for the cause of Christ in this area, because this is ridiculous. And
There are some Lutheran Church Missouri Synod pastors that are aware of my work and aware of what I'm doing. As a matter of fact, when I was over in Uganda, I met a missionary that's teaching at the Lutheran seminary there that recently been started up, and he was a pastor over here in the States and recently went over there, and he was so wonderful because I told the whole thing to him, and he said, my heart just breaks. You know, we have an error here that we have got to correct, and we've got to be held accountable for what has happened. And, you know, the Lutheran Church has contributed to the sexual revolution just as much as Kinsey has. And we've got to get rid of that concept of sex education. And that's why going over to Uganda and being able to speak to all of the major leaders there and talk about how we have to get this message back to the parents who can train their children and have the best effect on their children.
Well, I strongly urge our listeners, if they don't really have a grasp on how wicked and satanic Kinsey was, that's Alfred Kinsey, right?
Yes, Alfred
Kinsey. Go to the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio website, ironsharpensironradio.com, and go into the archives and type in Audrey Werner, and you will get previous interviews that we've had with Audrey, and at least one that specifically deals with Alfred Kinsey. And I would strongly urge you to listen to this on an empty stomach. This stuff is horrific and nightmarishly evil, and it is just so bizarre that anyone professing the name of Christ could be in any way swayed to include anything from this grotesque human being's laboratory experiments that included the sexual molestation of children and and infants.
Yes.
I mean, mind-boggling. But, you recently came back from Uganda. And I was excited to receive that email from you. I have heard about a lot of things going on in Uganda, that many Christians there are trying to have a positive influence there, not only first and foremost with the gospel of Jesus Christ to bring salvation to the lost, but also in the realm of sexuality. They've also, the politicians and those in governing authority in Uganda, many have been scrutinized and been the subject of ridicule and harsh criticism, and I'm not sure how much of it is slander. I'm sure a lot of it is, but there seems to be an exaggeration of what the Ugandan government has as its policies and stance against homosexuality. There is a picture being portrayed by liberals that Uganda is becoming a Fourth Reich when it comes to homosexuals being the victims rather than the Jews. You know, you have all kinds of inflammatory things being said. And by the way, just a side note very quickly, many of our listeners might not even realize, when you hear the term Nazi being thrown around by liberals and leftists all the time, there were many homosexuals, open homosexuals, in the original Nazi party, including Ernst Röhm, who was the leader of the Brown Shirts. He was an open homosexual pederast. He was not in the closet in any way, so the idea that Nazism is somehow in its root against homosexuality is a falsehood. But anyway, that's just a side note. So tell us about how you got this invitation to Uganda and what you discovered there.
About 2 years ago, I was at Dallas Theological Seminary. I live in Texas in the Dallas area. And a friend had asked me to go to an event through Dallas Theological Seminary. They have a program called REACH, where they invite 25 to 30 pastors from all over the world to who come and go through some training, and then they go back to their countries and then use this training with other pastors. So I went to this event at the seminary, and across the room was a lovely man from Africa, and he was smiling at me, and I was smiling at him, and I ended up going up and talking with him, and he came over to me, and his name was Pastor Ronald Smutu, and he was from the community where the AIDS epidemic began. And I shared with him what I do and what my ministry is, and he said, I would love for you to come to my community and speak to my people. And I thought, wow, isn't it like God to send a purity message to the community where the AIDS epidemic began? So he has started a school for children over there. As you know, education, you have to pay for it over there, and because of the poverty, not many children can go. Because in his school, there are children who have AIDS. There are children who have been orphaned because of AIDS. So he has grown this to now 400 children. And I thought, well, Lord, if you want me to go over there, you're going to have to open a way because I don't have the money and the means. And it just so happened that the Lutheran church I attend, one of the members of the congregation, he also goes over to Uganda 3 times a year to help. He's very instrumental in helping with the only Lutheran high school there. So his name is Stephen, and so I said, Stephen, you go over there all the time, and I've never been over there. So he said, I would love for you to come with me, Audrey, and I'll be your bodyguard. And so I said, okay.
Wow.
So the Lord opened the door, another Lutheran church out of the blue. I've never even spoken at this church. They had been bequeathed a large sum of money, and they wanted to tithe it. So they picked 3 ministries to tithe to, and I was one of them. So that pretty much paid for my trip. I'm like, okay, Lord, I guess I'm going to Uganda. And what happened was I serve on a national, kind of an international coalition called Protect Child Health Coalition. And so one of the members, she works at the UN. Her name's Sharon Slater. And she has a wonderful organization fighting for families, fighting for the unborn, fighting sex ed, fighting Planned Parenthood, and her organization is called Family Watch International. So she said, oh, you're going to Uganda. I have a few people there you need to meet. So she connected me with a couple of people there, and so I had let them know I was coming, but when I got on the plane, all I knew was I was going to the community where the AIDS epidemic had begun, and I was going to be speaking to about 60 pastors. And very quickly, it turned into a speaking tour across the country where I was able to reach 450 major religious and government leaders in Uganda.
Praise God. So in regard to what I just said, the picture I painted, or should I say the description of the picture that leftists in the United States and in other parts of the world, in Europe and so on, are painting of Uganda, making it out to be this monstrous, hateful government trying to persecute homosexuals as much as they can in very harsh and evil ways. How do you respond to that?
Uganda surprised me. Of course, it's a third world country. They're very poor. But the people there are wonderful. And Christianity is the foundation of that country. I was able to speak at the largest university, and I spoke to students as well as professors. And to be honest, that was probably the talk I was most nervous about, because I know if I would go to the largest university in the United States and talk about Christ, I would be heckled and thrown out of there. And one professor actually, when I was doing the Q&A with people after my talk, one professor said, but Professor Warner, what you needed to do with that last question is you needed to tell that parent that she needed to pray first and ask for the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. And I just kind of stood back. I go, I'm sorry, can you say that here? And she's like, of course you can say that here. And I was like, oh my gosh. I said, you know, and I told her what happens in America when Christians try and speak up. So pornography is not legal there. Sodomy, yes, homosexuality is not legal there. Sex education is not in the schools yet, but look at the timing of me going over there, because sex education, there were people in the parliament that resisted it. There were ministers and assistants to the president that had resisted this. However, because of the pressure from the U.S., from the U.N., from the Bill Gates, from all of these UNICEF, all these organizations that are coming in with lots of money to help this poor country, somehow it was snuck in. So legally, sex ed can be put in the schools now, but they hadn't put it in the schools yet. And here I come in to share the message of where sex education came from, who developed it, what was the intent, and more importantly, what has it done for America since the 1960s? Where are we at today?
Okay, well, we'll be finding more about your trip to Uganda, and I especially want to hear about this national attention to the subject that you discovered there. If you could send in your emails to chrisarnzen@gmail.com if you have a question for Audrey Warner, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. And what I'll do, Audrey, is I'll read a question for you that we've got, and you can answer it when we come back from the break. This is a question from Mary in Cork, Ireland. And I just had it in front of me, and I'm looking for it right now. Mary in Cork, Ireland, she writes, do they perform circumcision on girls in Uganda? This is also called vaginal circumcision, and obviously in the minds of most people, this is sexual mutilation of young girls. Is this legal? Is this prominent in Uganda, or is that likely in other parts of Africa? And you could answer that when we come back from our break. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And as always, please give us your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. And only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Audrey Warner right after these messages from our sponsors.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Ironworks, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens Jr. of the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com, that's nasbible.com, to place your order.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
Chris Sorensen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco. Dan is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind. Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled Consider the Evidence for the Bible. Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword. Dan also has a master's degree in theology. Dan handles serious injury and medical malpractice cases in all 50 states. He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country. Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer. He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy. And currently his firm has over 100 cases that have settled for $1 million or more, and in approximately 10 different states. In Illinois, his lawyers had the fourth largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal. If you have a serious personal injury or medical malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. Dan Buttafuoco's number is 1-800-669-4878. 1-800-669-4878. Or email me for Dan's contact information at chrisarnzen@gmail.com. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com.
I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, host of A Visit to the Pastor's Study, and I am so thankful to be part of the advertising family right here on Iron Sharpens Iron. If you live on Long Island, or if you're visiting the metropolitan New York area, I invite you to join us for worship at The Haven on Sundays at 4:30 p.m. We meet at the Ascension Lutheran Church facility, 33 Bayshore Road in Deer Park, New York. At The Haven, you'll find God-saturated singing, gospel-rich ministry, and great commission opportunities. Learn more about us at thehavenli.com and join us this Sunday at 4:30 p.m., 33 Bayshore Road, Deer Park, New York.
One sure way all Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners can help keep my show on the air is to support my advertisers. I know you all use batteries every day, so I'm urging you all from now on to exclusively use BatteryDepot.com for all your battery needs. At BatteryDepot.com, they're changing the status quo. They're flipping the script. They're sticking it to the man. In other words, they'd like to change the battery industry for good by providing an extensive inventory of top-of-the-line batteries that are uniformly new, dependable, and affordable. Ordering from BatteryDepot.com ensures you'll always get fresh out-of-the-box batteries you can count on to work properly at competitive prices. Whether you need batteries for cordless phones, cell phones, radios, PCs, laptops, tablets, baby monitors, hearing aids, smoke detectors, credit card readers, digital cameras, electronic cigarettes, GPSs, MP3 players, watches, or nearly anything else you own that needs batteries, go to BatteryDepot.com. Next day shipping available. All products protected by 30-day guarantees and 6-month warranties. Call 866-403-3768. That's 866-403-3768. Or go to BatteryDepot.com. That's BatteryDepot.com.
Got to tell you, for my money, Chris Arnzen's radio program is just the best.
Iron. Criticizing Iron.
I think that's what it's called. This is Todd Friel of Wretched Radio and TV with Phil Johnson of Grace to You, inviting everybody to come to the G3 conference, which is almost instantly become one of the best conferences in the country.
And it is. It's a great conference. I love it. And Chris Arnson was there last year. He's been there, I think, every year. It's great to see him there. You and I actually did some recordings in the lobby at that place, which
so
is a highlight
for
me.
Tons of stuff going on.
Yeah.
Tons of great speakers. And no matter where you are in the building, you will hear Chris Arnson's laugh. And that's worth the price of admission alone. If you would like to join Phil, me, Chris, and a cavalcade of great preachers, so it should be a cavalcade of great preachers, and me, g3conference.com, g3conference.com.
And now there's even more exciting news. John MacArthur himself is now also on the lineup at the G3 conference, Thursday, January 16th through Saturday, January 18th, 2020. Go to g3conference.com, g3conference.com. See you there.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnson. If you just tuned us in, our guest today is Audrey Werner, author of 10 Tips on How Not to Talk to Your Children About Sex. And today we are discussing the theme, The Quest for Biblical Sexuality in Uganda, How One Mom is Influencing a Nation on Sex Education. And our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. Please give us your first name, city and state, and country of residence if you live outside the USA. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a more personal and private matter. Before the break, Audrey, as you probably remember, Mary from Cork, Ireland asked if there is vaginal circumcision or female circumcision, which most people would just call the sexual mutilation of young girls. Is that still going on going on in Uganda, or is that mainly in other parts of Africa?
In the African countries, this is something that has gone on as a tradition in some of the tribes. So in Uganda, however, it was outlawed in 2010. So it's not legal to do that practice, but there are still people who believe in that in that country. But, you know, if they're caught, they can serve prison time for that. So it is illegal in Uganda.
And is this, this is outside of the boundaries of Islam, isn't it? Don't even those, sometimes these tribal groups who profess to be Christian and involve themselves in this?
Well, yeah, and again, I'm not an expert on that, so I can't really speak to who's behind it or, you know, what's the origins of it. All I know is that in Uganda, which is, again, I was just astounded with how much Christianity is in the universities, in as well as in the parliament building. Many, many Christians that, you know, even the president of Uganda is Christian. So, you know, that is throughout that country, and certainly it's felt.
Now, going back to the question I had before the break, so I'm assuming you think that much, if not most, if not all, of the claims of real harsh, cruel persecution of those involved in homosexuality is a slanderous description of the Ugandan government. You said it's illegal, but that doesn't necessarily equate persecution or harshness.
Right.
This country had homosexual activity outlawed until very recent history.
Exactly.
So, and keep in mind, folks, that just because you, as a nation or as a government, outlaw something doesn't mean that you hate the people involved in the activity. You're very often trying to prevent them or protect them from being involved in dangerous and deadly activity that is not only dangerous and deadly for themselves, but also for the community surrounding them.
Right. Absolutely. And, you know, just speaking from the field of science, the act of sodomy is damaging to the body, whether you are homosexual or heterosexual. That is an act that God never intended people to do, and that's why it was called an abomination in Scripture. And I always say, you know, God loves the sinner, not the sin. But unfortunately, because of the Bible and what it says, you know, here in this country, we are now talking about the Equality Act, which will make it illegal for churches to even speak Scripture regarding sodomy. So there's a lot of hatred that goes toward anyone who is putting up the biblical standard, and that would be also inclusive for Uganda. They are under a tremendous amount of pressure. When I spoke in the parliament building to members of parliament, to various ministers, of one, the Minister of Ethics and Integrity, the Minister of Primary Education, the chaplain for the parliament, after I gave my presentation, they each got up and shared the response to what I had shared. And one of them said that our former Secretary of State from the United States had called him personally and had said, listen, United States, we have $5 million we would love to give your country. However, you have got to accept, you have to change your stance regarding homosexuality. And this gentleman said, without even skipping a beat, he didn't hesitate. He said to our former Secretary of State, you can keep your money because we would rather be poor and honor God than to defy our Heavenly Father.
Praise
and
God.
I thought, wow, what government official says that nowadays? That's amazing. So,
wow.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, praise God. So tell us about any interaction that you may have had with parents in Uganda, parents who are trying to raise their children properly, that perhaps they've already been doing something that is biblically incorrect and they want to change that. Or what kind of interaction have you had with the parents that you perhaps met?
Yes, and as I said, I primarily dealt with the church leaders. The very first day I was there, Bishop Charles Bamika, who's the head of the Lutheran Church of Uganda, had me present to all of the Lutheran pastors in Uganda, and they in turn from that information said, we have got to have you train trainers to go to the parents to help train them on how to do this. From what I understand in Uganda, it's usually not the parents who give the sex talk because they're uncomfortable, which is true here. Our parents are uncomfortable talking graphically to their kids about sex. But again, if we go back historically, what did we do prior to Alfred Kinsey in the sexual revolution? We used to talk to our children in a very modest, indirect way. We talked to them about God's life process through the flowers, the birds, and the bees. We didn't shift to describing, make sure they know the genitals, the names for the genitals, and the act in detail until after Kinsey and Hugh Hefner and Planned Parenthood, who came up with that idea. So, we're actually sexualizing children when we give that approach, but that's the norm today. That's what was expected. So for parents in Uganda, they would usually, I believe it's the paternal auntie, would be the one who would talk to the children. But many of them don't talk at all. So it was revolutionary for them to hear, why they were uncomfortable giving that talk, and they were encouraged by the fact of I can talk to my children. I'm much more comfortable talking to them in a modest and direct way. So they were appreciating the permission to go in that direction with this. I think the other thing that I also noticed with the parents in Uganda is because not every child has a cell phone or, an iPad or whatever like our children do. And, of course, through the social media, our children are being bombarded with pornography and horrible messages. And over there, it's just coming. They're just now getting their computers on, some of these rural areas. And they have horror stories of their children are watching pornography and they had no idea. And how they're having to deal with that in talking to their children about not looking at those images. And, I had one parent that prayed about it and said that she said, this is Satan's tool. This is how he wants to lead you to hell. And I thought, wow. she had prayed about wisdom on how does she talk to her child about it and, reemphasized his identity in Jesus Christ and, talked about the consequences, the biblical consequences of when we go down that path of following, Proverbs 6 and 7, that seductive woman, which is pornography, which leads us to death. So I like I said, I didn't talk as much to parents as I did to leaders. I spoke at the Catholic Secretariat at the capital of Uganda, Father Jonathan Opio, who's a Catholic leader there. He arranged for that meeting, and I met with all the youth leaders for the Catholic churches over there. And again, they were enthused to find out why, because this country is getting a lot of pressure to put this sex ed in, and they've been uncomfortable with that, but they needed the facts to help them, to turn away from it. So like I said, it was amazing all the places that the Lord took me. At just this time. The timing was incredible.
We have Susan Margaret in Dauphin County, Pennsylvania, who asks, you've been advertising this program as how one mom is influencing a nation on sex education. Is that one mom your guest, Audrey?
Well, yeah, and I would say, actually, it's the Lord. I'm just one person that's being used. The Lord opened, like I said, incredible doors. for me to be able to do this. And one of the connections that Sharon Slater from Family Watch International, she connected me with Stephen Langa, who is, he's considered like the James Dobson of Uganda. He has an organization called Family Life Network. And he met with me the night before. He had arranged for me to speak at the largest university and then at the largest church in Uganda to the pastors there. And he also arranged for me to speak in Parliament. And he said, Audrey, when you go to Parliament, this is historical. What you're about to do is historical and will have major implications because this is where we're at right now with sex ed. We haven't put it in the schools yet, but it's been approved. And the timing of your message is so crucial. And what he did was he filmed my presentation to the Parliament members and to the other government officials. And also present there was Father Opio, the head of the Catholic Church, and then you had Bishop Charles D'Amica, the head of the Lutheran Church. You had another gentleman there who was the head of the Anglican Church, and it was amazing to watch these government and church leaders, after hearing the information I presented, come together and make a vow that they were going to fight sex education being put into the schools in their country with the help of the Lord. And I thought, what an honor that I got to be a part of watching history in Uganda. And I just was a messenger that just brought the message in and then flew right out. So you know, I would say God just had me at the right place at the right time. And I've been dealing with this, you know, started with the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And here I had the head of the Lutheran Church of Uganda personally taking me to every single event that I had to speak at. He was with me along with two other Lutheran leaders. So, which was great because versus what I've dealt with here in the United States with the Lutheran Church, to have the Lutheran leaders there enthusiastically embrace my message and, you know, be supportive of me was just so wonderful. So wonderful.
Well, we have to go to our midway break right now. In fact, what I'll do is I'll ask a question of a listener, and you can respond to it when we return. We have John in Bangor, Maine, who asks the question, you say that the Ugandan nation is a Christian nation. How much of that is nominal or liberal or apostate Christianity? Is that mainly the group that is opposing the more conservative and restrictive laws and policies in regarding to homosexuality and sex education and other progressive things in Uganda? And we'll have you answer that question when we come back. Our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name, city and state, and country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. This is our longer-than-normal break because Grace Life Radio in Lake City, Florida, requires of us this midway break because, according to FCC regulations, they have to localize their programming to Lake City, Florida. So they air this program twice a day in a pre-recorded format, and they need to use this midway break in our show to air their own public service announcements and commercials. So while they air their public service announcements and commercials, and we're airing our globally heard commercials, please use this time wisely. Write down the information provided by our advertisers so that you can patronize them as often as possible, use their services, buy their products, visit their worship services if you live near there or are visiting there, or if you have friends and family and loved ones near churches that we advertise. Whatever you hear advertised on here, as often as you can, patronize these sponsors as long as whatever it is they're offering applies to you. This is going to help us remain on the air because the more you patronize our advertisers, the more they're going to want to remain our advertisers, which means the more likely we are going to remain on the air. So write down the information that they provide and also write down questions for Audrey Werner on sex education or specifically on Uganda and the sex education system there and the sexual atmosphere of what's going on there and the biblical atmosphere of what's going on there. Our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We'll be back after these messages with more on Audrey Werner and the topic of the day about how one mom is changing a nation in regard to sex education. And we'll be right back.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Baptism and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com, or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, and my friend Chris Arnson and I are excited to be attending another G3 conference together in Atlanta, Georgia, Thursday, January 16th through Saturday, January 18th, on a theme that is vitally important to all of us, Worship Matters. I'll be on the speaking lineup with Derek Thomas, Joel Beakey, Paul Washer, Steve Lawson, Phil Johnson, Tom Askell, Vodi Balcom, and the world-renowned preacher, teacher, and author John MacArthur. A fascinating new addition to the roster is Costi Hinn, nephew of the notorious false teacher Benny Hinn. Costi has repented of the word faith heresies of his youth and is now a Reformed Baptist pastor and cessationist in California. Come join me and Chris Arnson at G3 2020, January 16th through the 18th in Atlanta by registering at g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. See you there.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics in Islam at the Toronto Baptist Seminary, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jeff Downs of Knox Reformed Presbyterian Church in Mechanicsville, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Mark Grimaldi of Grace Reformed Baptist Church of Long Island in Merritt, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Scott Pasolo of the Master's Church of Bucks County, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Kevin Vigneault of the Bible Church of Port Washington, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Andrew Smith of Christ Reformed Community Church in St. Augustine, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Clint Leiter of Highway M Chapel, Sedalia, Missouri, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries and the Dividing Line webcast here. Although God has brought me all over the globe for many years to teach, preach, and debate at numerous venues, some of my very fondest memories are from those precious times of fellowship with Pastor Rich Jensen and the brethren at Hope Reformed Baptist Church, now located at their new beautiful facilities in Coram, Long Island, New York. I've had the privilege of opening God's Word from their pulpit on many occasions, have led youth retreats for them, and have always been thrilled to see their members filling many seats at my New York debates. I do not hesitate to highly recommend Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, to anyone who wants to be accurately taught, discipled, and edified by the Holy Scriptures, and to be surrounded by truly loving and caring brothers and sisters in Christ. I also want to congratulate Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram for the recent appointment of Pastor Rich Jensen's co-elder, Pastor Christopher McDowell. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, that you heard about them from James White on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Did you know that all believers are priests? In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, the Apostle Peter describes Christ's church as comprising a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So if you're a Christian, you're also a priest. Now you can find the newest styles in Reformed and Protestant apparel at citizenpriest.com. Citizenpriest.com specializes in Christian-themed t-shirts and clothing especially for Reformed Christians. Citizenpriest.com's merchandise is purposefully scripture-based and meant for the edification of the saints and the furtherance of the gospel. Let everyone know that you stand firm on the doctrines of the Reformed faith by wearing apparel from citizenpriest.com. Visit citizenpriest.com today.
Iron Sharpens Iron welcomes Solid Rock Remodeling to our family of sponsors. Serving South Central Pennsylvania, Solid Rock Remodeling is focused on discovering, understanding, and exceeding your expectations. They deliver personalized project solutions with exceptional results. Solid Rock Remodeling offers a full range of home renovations, including kitchen and bath remodeling, decks, porches, windows and doors, roof and siding, and more. For a clear, detailed professional estimate, call this trustworthy team of problem solvers who provide superior results that stand the test of time. Call Solid Rock Remodeling at 717-697-1981, 717-697-1981, or visit SolidRockRemodeling.com. That's SolidRockRemodeling.com. Solid Rock Remodeling, bringing new life to your home.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio depends upon the financial support of fine Christian organizations to remain on the air, like the Historical Bible Society. The Historical Bible Society maintains a collection of Christian books
manuscripts, and Bibles of historical significance spanning nearly 1,000 years. The mission of HBS is the preservation and public display of ancient scripture, dissemination of scripture, to provide tools equipping believers in Christian apologetics with evidence for the Bible's reliability, and to introduce Reformation literature and Christian art to a broader audience. Since 2004, HBS has toured schools and churches throughout the Northeast United States, reaching thousands of believers and non-believers alike who are hungry for knowledge of the Bible. HBS's founder, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, is committed to sharing this collection along with an inspirational historical message that will captivate you and your church. Come journey through their website, historicalbiblesociety.org. The collection includes a complete 11th century Bible, an actual page of the Gutenberg Bible from 1455, the first book ever printed, the Geneva Bible, the 1611 King James Bible, and much, much more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org today. Thank you, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, for your faithful support of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor, frequent co-host with Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I would like to introduce you to my good friends Todd and Patty Jennings at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Todd and Patty specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable to everyone. Since 1987, the family-owned and operated book service has sought to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means that you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting material promoted by the secular book vendors. Their website is cvbbs.com. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence as Todd and Patty work in service to you, the church, and to Christ. That's Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Let Todd and Patty know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And you can call cvbbs.com at 800-656-0231. 800-656-0231, Monday through Friday between 10 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time to place your order as well. And remember, they have two excellent offers that they're giving away for free. The first is the book True Love, Understanding the Real Meaning of Christian Love by Dr. James M. Renahan, who is the president of the IRBS Theological Seminary in Mansfield, Texas. And by the way, their website is irbsseminary.org, irbsseminary.org, so don't forget about that. There's two S's in the middle. But cvbbs.com will give you this book, True Love, Understanding the Real Meaning of Christian Love by Dr. James M. Renahan, absolutely free, as long as you ask for it on the comment section at cvbbs.com with the purchase of any amount, no matter how small. If you want the larger book that they are giving away for free, this book is my favorite of all biographies, A Pastor in New York, The Life and Times of Spencer Cone by John Thornberry. It's a much larger hardback, also published by Evangelical Press. If you want that one for free, you have to purchase a minimum of $50 worth of merchandise. Go to cvbbs.com, enter the pastor in, or A Pastor in New York, The Life and Times of Spencer Cone by John Thornberry into the cart, and then add $50 worth of merchandise on top of that, at least. Then add the coupon code Iron Sharpens Iron, all capitals, all one word, Iron Sharpens Iron, and you will get the price of A Pastor in New York deducted off of your total. If you want to make life easier for yourself, why not just call in between 10 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time tomorrow at 800-656-0231, 800-656-0231, and say that you want both of those books for free, True Love by James M. Renahan and A Pastor in New York, The Life and Times of Spencer Cone by John Thornberry. You'll have to purchase more than $50 to get both books
And if you just want true love, any purchase will get you that book. Before I return to Audrey Werner, just have a few announcements to make as far as special events. The Fellowship Conference New England is already underway. It ends tomorrow at the Deering Center Community Church in Portland, Maine. My friend Mac Tomlinson has spearheaded this conference, and he holds it every year in Portland, Maine. If you live near there or intend to travel near there or can travel near there without much difficulty, I would strongly recommend that you go there. Tomorrow is the final day, as I said. And the speakers include Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, the aforementioned Pastor Mac Tomlinson of Providence Chapel in Denton, Texas, Pastor Lee Dodd, who is also a pastor at Providence Chapel in Denton, Texas, and Pastor Nathan Pickowitz, who is an author and a pastor at the Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Ironworks, New Hampshire. For more details on registering for this conference, go to fellowshipconferencenewengland.com, fellowshipconferencenewengland.com. It is continuing today and ending tomorrow, so if you live there near there, try to attend before it's over. My friend, Tony Costa, who many of you are familiar with, he is going to be starting his Bible conference tomorrow. That will be in Hockley, Texas, at the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas. And Dr. Tony Costa, who is professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary, will be speaking there from tomorrow. Actually, it starts today. I'm sorry. He'll be speaking there from today through Sunday. The dates of Dr. Tony Costa's conference are today, August 2nd, through Sunday, August 4th. And the specific topics that Dr. Costa will be addressing at this conference, which is, by the way, sponsored by Providence Theological Institute. The conference topics include the meaninglessness of life without God, the authority and inerrancy of Scripture, the promised land and the new covenant, the glorious new covenant, and more. And if you want more details on this conference, you can either call them at the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas at 832-349-5342. 832-349-5342, or go to churchatfriendship.org, churchatfriendship.org. Then in September, my friend, Pastor Bruce Bennett of the Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, is going to be debating Roman Catholic apologist Matthew Luke Broderick on the theme, "Is the Office of Pope Biblical?" And that is being held Saturday, September 7th, 6:30 p.m. at the Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York. If you want to attend that debate, the phone number is 631-806-0614, 631-806-0614, or you can go to wotchurch.com, W-O-T, which stands for Word of Truth, church.com, wotchurch.com. And then coming up in December 19th and 20th, Friday and Saturday. I'm sorry, Thursday and Friday, December 19th and 20th. I will be heading out to my old stomping grounds in New York City to the Foundations Conference, a conference of sermonaudio.com. And I always am thrilled to go to this conference. It is for men and ministry leadership only, because they only can hold less than 200 people in this venue. So they have made this a conference for men and ministry leadership only. And the speakers include Dr. Stephen J. Lawson, founder of One Passion Ministries, Paul Washer, Reverend Jeff Thomas, Reverend Armin Tomasian, Richard Caldwell Jr., and Andrew Quigley are all on the lineup. And if you would like to join me in attending this conference, which is being held during the Christmas season in Manhattan, and what better place to spend some of the Christmas holidays than in Manhattan? I hope you join me there at, and you can get more details at thefoundationconference.com. The Foundations, I'm sorry, that's a plural there. Thefoundationsconference.com. It has all the information that you need to register for this conference, where I will be attending, God willing, and I hope to see you there. Next event that I will be attending after that is the G3 conference, and I hope that you attend if at all possible. The G3 conference is coming up January 16th through the 18th in Atlanta, Georgia. And this is being actually held at the Georgia International Convention Center in College Park, Georgia, a suburb of Atlanta. It is a phenomenal conference. I love going to this conference. This is a conference where I always have an Iron Sharpens Iron Radio exhibitors booth every year. I hope that you, if you attend this conference, that you come by my booth and visit me, and maybe I'll even interview you. I interview a lot of folks who either are just in attendance at the conference or they're speaking there. This is going to be on the theme Worship Matters. And the speakers include Kosti Hinn, the nephew of notorious heretic and charlatan Benny Hinn. Kosti has renounced the Word of Faith heresies of his youth, and he has become a Reformed Baptist and cessationist pastor. You've been hearing James White mention Kosti in ads for the G3 conference. There's one update on that. He is not pastoring anymore in California, as the ads state. He is now working on a pastorate in Arizona. I believe this may be a church plant, but whatever it is, he is now assuming the responsibilities of pastor in Arizona. He is a Reformed Baptist and cessationist and spends much of his time outside of his pulpit warning people about the deceptive, dangerous, deadly, and damning heresies of the Word of Faith movement, including his own uncle, who he regularly exposes as a charlatan. He will be on the lineup on this this roster here at the G3 conference. Derek Thomas, who is a world-renowned Reformed preacher, teacher, and author. My friend Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries is on the roster. Joel Beakey, another friend of mine. Dr. Beakey is the president of Puritan Reformed Theological Seminary in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Once again, we have Stephen J. Lawson and Paul Washer. They are on the roster at this conference as well. My friend Phil Johnson, the executive director of John MacArthur's Grace to You Ministries. Stephen J. Nichols, the president of Reformation Bible College, the college founded by the late R.C. Sproul and Ligonier Ministries. My friend Todd Friel of Wretched TV and Wretched Radio. Dr. Tom Askell, another friend of mine, who is the executive director of Founders Ministries, the ministry founded by, or should I say, the Calvinistic ministry within the Southern Baptist Convention. Vody Balcom, who is one of the most profound preachers on the planet Earth, and more. And they just not long ago added to the roster legendary preacher, teacher, author, John MacArthur. I cannot wait to be there for that alone, because I've never been in the same room when John MacArthur is preaching. So I am so looking forward to hearing and seeing in person one of my modern-day heroes of the Christian faith, John MacArthur. If you want to join me there in College Park, Georgia, at the Georgia International Convention Center, Thursday, January 16th through Saturday, January 18th, go to g3conference.com to register, g3conference.com. And remember, if you have a business, a parachurch ministry, an event, or something that you want to promote to the body of Christ, I would strongly urge you to register for an exhibitors booth at the G3 conference. They usually have over 5,000 in attendance at this event. I expect with the addition of John MacArthur on the roster, they're going to have over 6,000 people there. So I hope that you have an exhibitors booth near me. Go to g3conference.com, g3conference.com to register, not only to attend, but also, if it applies to you, register for an exhibitor's booth as well. Last but not least, if you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, you look forward to sharing the free downloadable MP3s with your family, friends, and loved ones. I would strongly urge you to please, before we go off the air, to contribute to us as much as you can and as frequently as you can. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card by doing so. You could also send in a check the old-fashioned way via snail mail to the address that appears on the screen, when you go to ironsharpensironradio.com and click support. Never, ever, ever siphon money away from your regular giving to your local church in order to give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Never do that. Never put your family in financial jeopardy by giving to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Those two things are commands of God, providing for your church and home. Providing for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is obviously not a command of God. But if you are financially blessed above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands, you have extra money for benevolent purposes, for recreational purposes, for ice cream, for coffee. Please use some of that extra money that you have sitting around collecting interest and help us to remain on the air with your generous contributions at ironsharpensironradio.com. Click support, then click to donate now. If you are not a member of a local Bible-believing church and you're not prayerfully looking for one, you are living in rebellion against God. I can help you rectify that situation. I have lists of biblically faithful churches all over the world, and I would love to help you find a church either where you live or where you're going on vacation or where your friends and family live. If you need a church, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put, "I need a church" or something similar in the subject line. Also, if you want to advertise with us, we certainly do need your advertising dollars, so send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line, as long as whatever it is you're promoting is compatible, at least, with what we believe. It doesn't have to be identical with what I believe, but at least needs to be compatible with what we believe here. We would love to help you launch an ad campaign because we are in urgent need of your advertising dollars. It's chrisarnson@gmail.com. Put advertising in the subject line. And that's also the email address where you could send in a question to Audrey Werner. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. And Audrey, you may recall before the break, we had a listener ask if the Christian climate of Uganda, is much of it genuinely Christian? You know, is there a huge number of regenerate people there who are truly Christian, or just like, for instance, we have situations like in the Bible Belt where you have a lot of nominal Christianity. You have a lot of people who are Christian in name but aren't really born-again followers of Christ. But also the question that our listener asked was specifically asking, is there a lot of liberal, mainline, nominal Christianity that is pressuring the government to add these sex education curriculums that you have been protesting against or warning about into the school systems and all that kind of thing?
I think they have more outside pressure than they have inside pressure for the sex education. When I say Christian nation, you could say America is a Christian nation, but we're a Christian nation not because we have more churches or more Christians or a Christian behavior, but rather our laws and our government were founded on the principles of the Old and New Testament. And, of course, what has happened with the legalization of abortion and pornography, sex education, sodomy, all of those laws that used to be in place based on the Bible have been thrown out, and new laws, the Model Penal Code and the sex offense section, has been brought in, and that is based on Kinsey's science. So when I'm looking at Uganda, they still are adhering to the biblical laws with that. So, you know, of course, every nation has a mixture of, but certainly in the circles I was in, and even in the parliament building, to have the religious leaders and the government leaders working together for the good of Uganda was certainly very impressive to me. I would say the pressure that they're getting is from the outside. And I will share, when I went into the community where the AIDS epidemic began, and I taught my course, a mini version of my course, Restoring Biblical Purity in the Church, they were expecting 60 pastors, and they had 120 show up. And they also had time to do question and answer with me. And one of the pastors stood up and he said, "I have to share with you that I have been so angry with America because you have this saying, 'In God we trust,' yet you're pushing homosexuality on us, you're pushing sex education on us and abortion. And I was so angry with you Americans, but now today I see there's you, and I know there's others in America who are fighting against that. And that gives me hope. And he said, I'm going to look at Americans differently now because I realize you're not all like that. So I thought, wow, you know, we do. Other countries are looking at us because of this pressure that we're putting on these countries to accept gay marriage, to accept sex education, to accept abortion. That's what America is known for across the world. We're the world-leading distributors of pornography. We're the number one country that is purchasing sex, whether it's through pornography, child sex trafficking. We have become, this is the outcome of the sexual revolution. So, you know, when we're going to look at who's Christian and who's not, we need to start in our own backyards. And as I say, Lord, start a revival. Let it begin with me and my circle, and then I can affect my family and those around me and my community and then my nation.
We have, let's see here, Arnie in Perry County, Pennsylvania. And Arnie says, there are many people that will say, if we try to restrict the behavior of the citizens of any country in regard to their sexual activity, we are going to be thwarting the spread of the gospel because these people will not hear what Christians have to say about Christ and eternity if we are mixing politics and their private sexual behavior with our message of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Can you say any words that might correct the thinking in those people, many of whom are well-meaning Christians, but I believe sadly mistaken in this area?
Yeah, I mean, there's always been that mindset, and I think Christians stood back for a while and said, you know, separation of church and state, so I'm not going to get involved politically. But again, when we look at the foundations of our nation, every state constitution goes back to the Ten Commandments. And really, law points the way, and our founders knew that. They knew in order to have freedom, we had to have restrictions. Whereas sexual freedom brings chaos, and usually what comes from that is socialism and communism, which is what we're seeing in America today. So, you know, God's a loving God, but He gives us laws not to because He's not a fun God. He gives us laws because He loves us, and He knows that if we go outside of that behavior, it is going to be harmful for us and for those around us. So that's why those laws were put in place. So, you know, again, understanding that if you want to, even if you're not a Christian, you want to live in a Christian nation because that's where you will obtain your most freedom because these laws are in place and they bring order, and God is a God of order. So, you know, again, we love the sinner but not the sin. And so these laws are put in place to protect us. And that is something that we have to look at. And statistically-wise, as we have taken these laws out, the crimes against women and children in America have exploded. The institution of marriage has fallen apart, and our families are in desolation. So, again, we need to get back to God's law. Dr. Judith Reisman, who's one of the top experts in the world on Alfred Kinsey, she was one of the people who had actually trained me. And she told of when she met with the late Justice Scalia, and she shared this information of how our laws have been changed using this fraudulent criminal science of Alfred Kinsey, which isn't science at all. And he said, instead of us coming up with new laws to protect what we are losing, if the old laws, which were based on God's word, if the old laws were thrown out based on this fraud, then shouldn't we restore the old laws and make them honorable again? And I say amen to that.
Amen. When you were saying that you're not going to be involved politically, exactly what do you mean by that? Because that could mean a lot of things. I mean, there is a big debate between even conservative Bible-believing Christians to whether or not or how much involvement people should have as Christians in politics. There are very few that I know outside the Amish or Mennonites or some other groups that would say we should have no involvement, but there are many people that have a stark contrast between a church, for instance, rallying around a candidate, or a pastor being very actively involved in politics, as opposed to a private citizen who is a Christian doing that. So what do you mean by that?
Yeah, and because of our 501c3, you know, a church can't endorse a candidate. However, a church can show who's pro-life and who isn't. They can show how candidates vote on the moral issues, and then the parishioners can make the decision based on that. What I meant when I said that I didn't intend to get involved politically was that I didn't think I would have to go in and talk to legislators about this. My passion has always been to wake up the church, to wake up parents, to wake up church leaders, because that's where, you know, we're failing as a country, because our churches are turning away from God. You know, the churches point the way also, and as they embrace the lies of the sexual revolution, they are dragging, you know, their parishioners down. So I had a passion to wake up the church. That's where I started. But I have, the Lord has opened up opportunities now for me to not only meet with state legislators, but now got to meet with government officials from Uganda. So, and what I'm finding is that nobody knew that why these laws had changed and who was behind it. When I went into the Texas State Capitol, I blew up from Kinsey's Sexual Behavior in the Human Male. From that book, he has a table in there, table 34, and it's on page 180, I believe. And I took it to a printer, and I said, could you blow this up? And the lady looked at it, the table, horrified, and she was going to refuse me until I told her what I was using it for. And on that table, Kinsey has documented how many orgasms do children have, some of them in a 24-hour period of time, which is a horrific thing to even wrap your head around, because that means an adult was raping a child as young as 5 months old up through the age of 14. And someone was documenting this. So these are criminal activities that occurred, but this is the foundation of sex education. So I had that blown up. I walked into the Texas State Capitol with that and I showed it to them, and they had no idea. They had no idea who developed sex ed, who was behind it, and what the intent was. And more importantly, you can look at the STD and pregnancy rate and see from just the cost effective, not just the destruction of marriage and families, but what does it cost to the states, to the country, to have sexual morality? The cost of the teenager who is pregnant or has the venereal disease, it has been extremely costly for that. So, for the children that are living in poverty, because single-parent families exploded right after sex education was put in the school. So in terms of my own state representative is a pastor, which when I was in the state capitol, it was awesome because he came off of the floor, the House floor, and prayed over the four moms that were going to testify later that day. He actually prayed over us, and I thought, how awesome is this that, you know, yes, you can have that. And I know in Uganda, I believe it was in the 1990s that they were calling for born-again Christians to get into political positions, get into the parliament, get into the different offices, because we all have different worldviews. And if we have, you know, if you have a lot of people in office that have a different view on death, as we have infanticide now, that is horrific. So, of course, we need Christians in office and need to be politically active and involved.
We have, let's see, CJ in Lindenhurst, Long Island, New York, who says, I have heard the cries of liberals and leftists who say that vigilante violence is on the rise in Uganda against those involved in homosexuality due to stricter laws that have come into play. Is this exaggeration or is it outright falsehood that there are groups professing to be Christians that are roaming around beating up and torturing homosexuals?
You know, there probably is. There is here. I mean, there are people that in the name of Christianity are going in and shooting up or committing violent acts. But again, we have to, you will know them by their fruits. And obviously with that type of behavior, that is not Christian. You know, that's a fallacy for us to believe that. I did not come across that. I think, again, anybody who's going to stand up and say this is more immoral and wrong according to Scripture is going to be vilified. That's in the playbook for the LGBTQ. And anyone who resists is going to be demonized. And so here's an example in Uganda. They're getting a tremendous amount of pressure from a lot of people who have a lot of money and a lot of organizations that have a lot of money to cave on this issue. And so they are being vilified by this. And that's typical.
Yes, and of course, I mean, I don't think there has been any proven epidemic of people in the name of Christ committing violence against homosexuals. There are isolated incidents of skinheads and, you know, people like that, and even people that turn out to be homosexuals themselves involved in this violence. But people equate anything that may use in some way the name of Jesus Christ or Christianity as a Christian movement, which is absurd. I mean, there are no evangelical groups doing these things. I mean, you would hear about it globally on every news network that is available.
Absolutely. Every church leader I met over there, and I met a lot of them, none of them would advocate that at all.
And even the hate crimes that we hear about in the news that are committed by those who are neo-Nazis, Klansmen, skinheads. This is a tiny minority of what is going on in the world, I mean, or even in our nation. I mean, it seems like the most hate crimes we see regularly in the news are those committed by Antifa against innocent victims. But
right. Well, yeah, don't wear a hat that says Make America Great Again in this country. That's for sure.
Right.
Because you're going to get beat up if you're in certain areas. So, and you know, that's sad. That is, it's horrible. So.
All right, well, we're going to ask another question before we go to our final break, and then you could answer it when we return. We have RJ in White Plains, New York, who asks, what, in your opinion, can we as a nation here in America learn from Uganda? And we'll have you answer that when we come back. Our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. If you have a question of your own, please send it in quickly because we're rapidly running out of time. chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages with more of Audrey Werner.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York,
and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, host of A Visit to the Pastor's Study, and I am so thankful to be part of the advertising family right here on Iron Sharpens Iron. If you live on Long Island, or if you're visiting the metropolitan New York area, I invite you to join us for worship at The Haven on Sundays at 4:30 p.m. We meet at the Ascension Lutheran Church facility, 33 Bayshore Road in Deer Park, New York. At The Haven, you'll find God-saturated singing, gospel-rich ministry, and great commission opportunities. Learn more about us at thehavenli.com and join us this Sunday at 4:30 p.m., 33 Bayshore Road, Deer Park, New York.
Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World Now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402, or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
I'm Dr. Gary Kimbrell, pastor of Bethlehem Baptist Church in Laurel, Mississippi. God tells us in James 1:27 that pure and undefiled religion is to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. In the providence of God, 3 years ago, I discovered a poor small church outside Lusaka, Zambia, in a township called Kabanana, who are taking care of 24 orphans. I found them just at the time when they had lost all their funding. What was I to do? Could I just say, God bless you, and walk away? The situation of the children sat heavily upon me. As I was praying concerning this need, it came to me, I trust from the Lord, to tell the orphans' plight to a broader audience. The entire need for their clothing, food, education, and some medical services is $73 per month per child. If just 50 of us would give $35 a month, we could meet the need. Bethlehem Baptist Church will pay the fee to get the funds there. So if you give a dollar will get to the orphans. In this season of hope and giving, will you consider giving hope to 24 orphans? Please send your gift of any amount to Bethlehem Baptist Church, 838 Reed Road, Laurel, Mississippi, 39443. Or donate through our website, bbclaurel.com. Again, the address is Bethlehem Baptist Church, 838 Reed Road, Laurel, Mississippi, 39443, or bbclaurel.com. Thank you.
Tired of box store Christianity, of doing church in a warehouse with all the trappings of a rock concert? Do you long for a more traditional and reverent style of worship? And how about the preaching? Perhaps you've begun to think that in-depth biblical exposition has vanished from Long Island. Well, there's good news. Wading River Baptist Church exists to provide believers with a meaningful and reverent worship experience, featuring the systematic exposition of God's Word. And this loving congregation looks forward to meeting you. Call them at 631-929-3512 for service times. 631-929-3512. Or check out their website at wrbc.us. That's wrbc.us.
I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. The New American Standard Bible is perfect for daily reading or in-depth study. Used by pastors, scholars, and everyday readers, the NASB is widely embraced and trusted as a literal and readable Bible translation. The NASB offers clarity and readability while maintaining high accuracy to the original languages, which the NASB is known for. The NASB is available in many editions like a topical reference Bible. Researched and prepared by biblical scholars devoted to accuracy, the new topical reference Bible includes contemporary topics relevant to today's issues. From compact to giant print Bibles, find an NASB that fits your needs very affordably at nasbible.com. Whichever edition you choose, trust, discover, and enjoy the NASB for yourself today. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how He shall be worshipped and how He shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Baptism and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Listening to Christian radio can be a big gamble spiritually. Even many of the major Christian networks that include excellent biblically faithful teachers on their lineup sadly often also include the worst of doctrinally dangerous heretics. If you are a lover of the doctrines of sovereign grace, you need not fear listening 24 hours a day to firstloveradio.org. They feature Christ-centered programming from Reformed pastors and teachers you can rely upon for theological soundness and biblical faithfulness, such as Dr. W.R. Downing, Dr. Peter Masters, Pastor Joe Jackowitz, Pastor Robert Gifford, Al Martin, Edward Del Cor, and more. FirstLoveRadio.org also live streams my Iron Sharpens Iron radio program daily. Please stick around on FirstLoveRadio.org after Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is over to continue being blessed by the unwavering proclamation of the gospel of sovereign grace. Spread the word about FirstLoveRadio.org. Audrey, as you may recall, before the break, we had our listener in White Plains, New York, RJ, ask what you believe our nation, American, can learn from Uganda.
The thing that just struck me when I was in the Parliament building is that these government leaders want to honor God. The reason they haven't legalized homosexuality, sodomy in that country is not because they hate gays. It's because they want to honor God. And that is an inspiration. We have lost so much in this nation. What are we willing to stand up for and say, no, not on my watch, not anymore? When I was in the Capitol building in Austin, Texas, I met a mother who had a book that's in the school for children, young children, called It's Perfectly Normal. She didn't care whose office she went into, whether it was a Republican, a Democrat. She went office to office just showing them, putting this book in their faces and saying, look at what the children are looking at. We have got to start to take a stand because we've got to get back to honoring God in this country. And I'm going to close it with John Adams, the second president of the United States, said, no matter how heedless, insensate, materialistic, selfish, greedy a society may be, if there can be found in it a few clear and powerful voices that speak out unafraid against its corruption, the spirit and the hope of reform can persist.
Amen. And the leftist agenda in our nation is gaining such strides and such strength and such authority, tragically, I think largely because their rhetoric, which is accepted as truth, wrongly accepted as truth, is that they are not promoting religion. They will say we have to be a nation that separates church and state, which, of course, they misunderstand the concept of that to begin with. We have to be a nation that does not establish a religion, and yet they are really, even if they never call it a religion, they are establishing the religion of secular humanism and leftist totalitarianism. Yeah. It's just because they don't call it a religion that they get away with this in the minds of many, even many who disagree with them, think that they are correct, that we have to remove Christianity from the public square and from the political arena, which is absurd, but they are really establishing their own religion, the religion of secular humanism, leftist totalitarianism, and Satan himself, if I may be bold, so bold to say.
That's right. That's right. So we can stand against it. It takes just a few. God just needs a few. He just needs a few. That's the whole point.
Amen. And right now, you are in the midst of a speaking tour. So I wanted to just give you an opportunity to let our listeners know where you will be speaking and any contact information that they may have to find out more about those speaking engagements.
Yes, I'm currently in Michigan. I just spoke at First Baptist Church in Greensburg, Indiana. I am speaking at a very small church in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, but on August 12th and 13th, I will be touring the state of Missouri, so anybody in Missouri. If you contact Beverly Elin, it's E-H-L-E-N, of Concerned Women for America, Missouri. She will have the schedule of where I'll be, and I would love to see you there.
Do you have any of this information on the Matthew 18 group website?
No, I don't have it there, but you can get it through, like I said, through Concerned Women for America of Missouri. That'll be the primary one. So.
Okay, well, you'll have to do some Googling, I guess, to get the exact website, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you so much, Audrey, for being such an informative guest once again. I look forward to you returning to this program. I want to thank everybody who listened today, especially those who took the time to write in questions. I hope you all have a safe and blessed and happy weekend, and a refreshing weekend, and especially a God-honoring Lord's Day. And I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.